You're listening to
the Almost Anything Network.
This is Say Anything with Mike and Daryl.
Okay, Beaker, this new anti-insomnia sleep machine should counteract the effects of all the coffee you drank.
I keep hearing you're concerned about my happiness.
Are you ready, Beaker?
All that you're giving me is conscience, I guess. If I was walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. Well, you and your friends are worried about me. I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Watching Instagrams and playing tons of Sudoku. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Last night I dressed in tails.
What the hell are we listening to?
This is the new I guess Muppets song. They do a lot of, you know, YouTube videos and things like that. It's almost like a Muppets version of a song, because these aren't the real lyrics to
it's a parody version.
Right, exactly. And I don't even know exactly. I think it's a Hank Williams, or maybe like a who does the? Because it's Captain Kangaroo.
Oh yeah, right,
I don't know
what,
there's nothing to do.
That's a good question. I don't know who actually
changed the lyrics.
It.
See, they've changed the lyrics to obviously Muppetize it.
Right. Are you looking forward to the new Muppets coming out?
Fuck yeah, man. I've always been a huge Muppet fan just from the day one. I mean, I've grown up with him.
I was never a huge Muppet fan, to be completely honest. Like, I liked the movies.
Yeah.
And I did like I liked Muppet Babies when I was young.
Muppet Babies.
So I'm not like a hater, but I was never like huge on the show. Like, the show was really on before I was really born.
Right, the Muppet Show, yes.
Yeah, the old classic Muppet Show was on before I was really born. And all the TV stuff, like, I've seen in the recent years, it's all been really lame.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, I do enjoy the movies, but not so much their television stuff that I've seen. But this new one looks a little different format, so I'm intrigued to check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more adult, I think. It's going to be one of those shows where I think they're trying to grab the 30-somethings rather than the 15 and 16-year-olds or the teens.
To me, from what I've seen,
because
it's
going
like
to be another primetime show.
It's a primetime show, and it's supposed to be what I heard. Is it on
ABC?
Oh, it is ABC. Oh, I heard. Network. I thought it was going to be a cable show.
No, it's network.
So it's gonna suck.
It's going to be the Muppets.
The Muppets have never been that edgy.
That's the thing. It's always been family. It's always.
And from the little commercials I've seen, it looks like they're doing like Muppets living in the real world.
Sure.
You know, as well as doing a show.
Sure.
So it has that. If anybody's been around Smitty and Dee's show,
yes,
knows that we're big fans of Greg the Bunny, and it feels like they're going to do the Muppet version of Greg the Bunny.
I like the idea of the Muppets being in another primetime show and having this type of format, because they've always kind of had this format in their movies where they've always suddenly broken away and had, like, you know, fourth wall breaks and things like that, where they've just like kind of looked at the camera or made a comment to the camera like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
Or something like that, where it's now it's just even more of like a, well, let's just have him talk to the camera in a mockumentary style, like what's popular in all so many shows already.
I could be wrong, but didn't they try to do a TV show a couple years ago that just didn't work?
The Muppets?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They did
know.
That, and they did a Christmas special with Lady Gaga.
Yeah, they did a Christmas special. That was all right, yeah. You remember?
I like, but I'm also
they had
a little
Muppet
bit
show?
Jaded because I worked for many, many years as a Muppet character.
Right, of course.
But I was Sweetums in the Muppet 3D
show.
Yeah,
the Muppet
3D show
was an awesome show.
But it was even more awesome to be working on it, because it was like a piece
mm-hmm.
of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also fun to tell people you did that job.
Totally.
Because everyone knows that one character you did.
Of course. And it is one of those types of like pivotal roles, but you know, it isn't necessarily like nobody knows you in it, but you have, you know, you could be like,
you have
I'm
some
part
pride
of the
in
show,
it.
You know,
I have some
like,
pride in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So like maybe I'm more, I feel more like it's not up to my par. I could do better than that Sweetums. Space is infinite.
Yep.
Does that go outward as well as inward?
We were talking about that where a lot of people said that the world is expanding or the universe is expanding, and then a lot of people say that it's contracting, and there's a lot of, I guess, conflicting thoughts on both sides. I love that now that the internet's around, everything has two sides to every coin. When we were in school and teachers would say like that, you know, Ben Franklin said this or, you know, some sort of fact of like when some war was happening.
Right.
You just were like, well, this teacher said it.
You took it for
That's what the teacher says. Now it's like any subject you can look up like when a war started. And you'll have 40 different websites saying, well, it actually started this time, and it actually started with this person saying charge. And this other website's like, well, it actually started 2 weeks later than that when this other war started or when this other battle, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, what? Everybody's like, there's like always a million answers for everything. And you can always just go like, what source is now reputable? Like, or what source do I want to hitch my pony to and go like, well, that I guess that makes sense. I'll believe that.
Yeah. So like I was saying, it was like, so like space is ever expanding and infinite. Does that go outward as well as inward? Does
it
space
goes
ever
everywhere.
Stop
it goes,
inside you? Does it keep getting smaller and smaller? Where is the smallest particle? Where does it stop?
It doesn't. There's always going to be...
There's atomics and subatomics, and then what, like quantum theory? What's below that? What's smaller than that? Where does it go from there?
Eventually, there's nothingness.
Universes?
It's just empty.
What's between the space?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just air? Oxygen?
Not even that. It's the
a vacuum?
Emptiness of everything.
Everything's empty? That's very pessimistic.
It's nothing. It's like the absence of every thing that you could think of being something.
That's crazy.
Michelle Pfeiffer has not been in a movie in a while. What was the last Michelle Pfeiffer
sure
movie
you saw?
I'm sure
there's one more than or earlier than this, but the last one I could think of was What Lies Beneath.
And that was like 98.
I would say that was late 90s, maybe early 2000s at the latest.
What was that one with Dangerous Minds or something? Or the like rapper
with Coolio?
With Coolio?
That was like, that was like mid-90s.
That was before that?
Yeah, that was before that.
It's been so long ago that I've had to hear that song before.
All right, Michael McDonald. Daryl McDonald.
Yep. I don't know when. When did Michelle Pfeiffer was in the last movie?
I don't know, but maybe we should talk like this the whole show.
If you don't know, we've been drinking a little bit.
Don't tell them that. I bet they could figure it out.
Let's see how many Muppet impressions we can
do.
Oh,
shit. I'm already failing.
Okay, just let's name your top three.
Top three?
No, your top three characters that you loved as a child, and we'll try to I'll try to imitate those, and then I'll name my three, and then you try to imitate them.
Oh God!
Because there's a lot, and everybody has different. And we can go through the whole gambit. It doesn't just have to be the Muppet movies. It can be also Sesame Street, as well as
any Henson.
Yeah, any type of Henson movie, or TV show.
One of my favorites is always Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear. Waka waka.
That's a fucking easy one. Waka waka waka. Because I was the king. I'm the king of lame.
Kermit.
You've known me a long time. When I was younger with all our buddies, I was the king of lame because I could say a joke that would fall flat and no one would ever laugh at. And I still have that gift today.
I always loved how Fozzie was also Yoda. You know, Frank Oz was the character.
Yeah.
And you could always kind of hear, you could always kind of hear a little bit in each of them. Where if you closed your eyes and you listened to Yoda, you'd be like, I think that's like Fozzie if he was like underwater or something like that.
There is no try. Do or do not. There is no try.
Waka waka. Waka.
Yeah. There is no try. Waka waka.
Yeah, Fiona just went like straight faced. Waka waka.
What if, dude? That should be a fucking Easter egg in the new Star Wars. Yoda needs to say waka waka. That would be the best.
It's just amazing that Frank Oz has been alive this long.
You know what's one? He's still alive? I didn't know.
Yeah, and he's doing Miss Piggy. It's like everything.
Fuck yeah, good for him. The one thing is funny though is I really, of my top three, Kermit's definitely not. Kermit or Miss Piggy are not in. They're the most annoying two.
They're the straight. They're almost like you know. It's almost like every TV show has that the main character that you build the show around. But they're the most solid in reality. They're the most, like, they're the reason why the show is moving. You know, they're the person that keeps the exposition going.
Right.
Keeps the story moving. But then there's all the funny ancillary stuff around it. And that's the characters where you're like,
that's why Gonzo,
love it. Yeah, of course.
Is one of the best.
And, Gonzo and
what, Animal?
Yeah, and Animal and Beaker and Bunsen and all, and even Skeeter and name?
Patriot Sam or whatever his name is.
Sam, Sam the Eagle.
Sam the Eagle. There you go.
And they're just awesome. I mean, they're all their own in their own way. Just like you love them for what they are. Like the Swedish Chef. Character. It's like he has one thing. And you're like, I love it. Keep it. Just every just time he's on the stage, you're gonna be like, well, that's gonna be Swedish Chef, and it's gonna be awesome.
There's only one character I still hate. It's the fucking bunny. Bunny.
Oh, what was his name? Anybody see it was bunny? Like, I forget what his name was, but it was like something stupid.
Yep, he was stupid. That part was annoying.
And
let's talk about the live show.
Mm-hmm.
But
I said
Fonzie and
Fozzie. Okay,
I'm sorry, Fozzie.
Waka waka.
Hey, waka waka.
Hey,
Fozzie and Gonzo.
Hey guys.
Why? Yeah, yeah.
Hey guys.
I always loved.
It was almost like a Richard. The last guy we had on Chip Shadow had it as a guest.
Oh yeah, Richardson. Richardson. Yeah.
Believe me, it's like this.
It's old Gonzo.
Yeah.
It's Gonzo when he's gone straight.
Hey, Camilla. I like you very much.
And then no. And my third one, my third Henson,
yeah,
has got to be King Prawn. King Prawn was always, he was just
he's
a minor
not the
character.
The guy that's like the Pepe. The guy that's like, hey, how you doing?
He's the little, hey, he's the little shrimp.
Yeah, and he's
Pepe the King Prawn.
Right, yeah. Right.
Pepe the
hey,
King Prawn.
How you doing? I'm Pepe the King Prawn.
I fucking love that character. I don't know why, but just like he's so. It's just a little tiny piece of shit, like a shrimp. But he has such bravado, like, hey, I'm King Prawn.
Yeah. What was he in? The Treasure Island movie or something?
He was
something?
In that, or? And he was in The Muppets Go to Space or whatever.
Right, that's right. Muppets in the Space.
There's been a lot of... If nothing in your body is touching, all the atoms in our body don't touch each other.
Right.
But they get real close and they bond, but they don't touch.
They have attraction to one another.
Why is it that I can't just go through other objects like The Flash and Superman? Like
because
certain objects, maybe. Like some objects
those
you can go through.
But why can't hit each other some? In a way that is like they're touching, even though they're not really physically touching. But their repulsion between each other is like a actual physical touch.
I wonder if there's a vibration that you can reach, like a certain vibration for individual things. So if this vibrates at a certain level and I vibrate at a certain level, could I go through it?
Like not an Ant-Man, but an Atom Man. If you could go down to the size of an atom, that would be cool.
Like
that
quantum,
size.
Atom man, quantum
yeah,
man.
If you were like able to be like look at like because they always talk about like if you think of an atom and you look at the relative size of how far the electrons are between one another, it's like 5 million football fields in between one another, and you're like, what?
Some astrological amount.
So, like, yeah, like you said, what's in that 500 football fields? Nothing. Or a charge or a push or some sort of pull in one way or another, like a positive or a negative charge that keeps them in that orbit.
Is it nothing? Because, like, in between you and me now, we don't see anything, but there's oxygen, there's nitrogen, there's all these different
everything.
Gases.
There's a lot of things, yeah.
And dust and all that stuff that we can't see.
Light,
in between
all that.
Those two particles, is oxygen hidden in there? But then you're getting down to the level where you're seeing the actual particles of oxygen. So, like, wouldn't it fill everything? But there's still spaces in between that.
Right.
I wonder what is it, like, the reason I'm thinking all this stuff, I just watched that documentary. Okay, I watched the first half before I fell asleep because I started watching it real late at night.
A lot of smart stuff makes you after about 20 minutes go like, I'm gonna pass out.
Sometimes it is.
It's too much knowledge, you just pass out.
It is absolutely. And this one was like, it's one of the, it's called Particle Fever,
right,
or something like that. And
it's on
all
Netflix
about, yeah, it's on Netflix, and it's all about the making of and the turning on of the Hadron Collider,
looking for the God particle, you know, the
right, the smallest thing that
the,
like
the atom that's
the
in
universe.
The middle of it all,
right?
You know, and that got me just thinking, like, of all the atoms, like, okay, what if this atom like created this, but what if there is multiple like God particles? So like we find like
right.
we find the green one,
theory.
And then they find the blue one, and mm-hmm. then the other one finds it. Like, what if we find multiples? And it's yeah. like, yeah, these lead to different worlds.
That's the one thing I can never wrap my head around is that theory of if there's an infinite amount of universes out there, there's an infinite amount of possibilities of me existing in that universe, or there's an infinite amount of possibilities of me not existing in that universe. And then there's also me that I've looked at how I've experienced my life and what I've done
in
all the way
one.
Up until this point, and then go, there's a infinite amount of possibilities that could have happened. And
yeah.
then also lead to this exact point, but also be a million other things that lead to other different things.
It means everything could be
just
tweaked just a
infinite
hair, too. Like,
is
instead
just
of you wearing that shirt today, you could wear some other shirt.
And
that's how small the infinite
right.
change could be.
Right, and that is one change.
Or you have a different
of
style of frame on your glasses. Or
that's one.
Instead of growing your beard this way, you grow it with a mustache too. Like,
and the most minutest thing is, you only grew that long for that one day.
Yeah,
and then everything else about that whole entire life was the exact same.
But that's
except
still
that
one of the possibilities,
one day,
right?
And that one beard hair that was different.
Yeah, so like one. Yeah, isn't that strange? Like that means like the infinite possibility thing. Sometimes it's hard to just get wrapped around your head. Like. Every little thing
you
could be
do
different.
An infinite amount of things every single minute. So just think about every minute being a different minute, infinite amount of times, and then don't even go a minute, go a millisecond.
Do you think
a millisecond?
Do you think there's ever any way, like, cause so that's like the parallel universe thing. So if there's like different things with us doing in every parallel universe, do you think there's ever a way for us to either meet, cross, or change with some other parallel universe us? So, like, let's say Parallel Universe U is a baseball player, center fielder for the Anaheim
Angels.
That's
not very parallel to me, though.
But that is parallel, but I'm saying, like, it's one of the many infinite possibilities.
He's me, but he just has a different profession.
Well,
he's a baseball
yeah, but
player.
He's you, but just when you were a kid and you started playing Little League, you took a turn for being
right.
really good
I
in this infinite
awesome.
Possibility. Like,
right.
you just it just clicked for you. You knew the game.
But right. does that make you a different person?
What I was gonna say is like you're still the same person technically, but it's your parallel universe. It's just a different path.
But do you think
you go
like
down.
I still feel the same beliefs?
I don't know. But so can you change lives or interchange with that person, or do you think there'll ever be
and
a way
be
you
enough?
Can see that person, see that other life, or interact with that other life, or let alone like switch? Do you think that could ever be a possibility? Like you could with if there is. An infinite possibility of universes out there. One of those has to be knowing how to get to the other one.
Yeah, that
because that's a possibility.
Right, that possibility is we can change bodies.
We could transfer
minds
parallel universes or
yeah. Suddenly, I'm this person and they're me.
So maybe one parallel,
but
universe,
we're both me.
Maybe that one parallel universe is people able to go wherever they want And then when we have like dreams or nightmares, it's them coming into us. It's like we're kind of like we're dreaming through their eyes because they're able to like
the dreams are when people cross.
Yeah.
It's like
so you're picking up residue from other parallel universes.
But it's all you. It's all different.
That's why when you
dream, it's all different possibilities of you.
That's why when you dream, it's always you, but everybody you see, you vaguely know, but they're never the people. They're never the people there they are in your life.
Right,
like
right.
When you see your best friend, he's always like, hey, he was the butcher at the supermarket.
But of course,
but
if
you
see your parents and stuff, those would be in parallel universes because they're your parents.
Be, yeah, in a parallel universe, they'd be your parents. But like, it depends on which parallel universe that you is hopping from.
Because those would be the constants. There's constants in parallel universes, and then there's variables. The constants would be you have these parents because that's where your story starts. Is these people
birthed you? But even then, like,
there's
going to be a bunch of stories where you don't exist because your parent died or your parent.
But that's
like,
their universe,
that's,
right?
That,
or
but
is
everybody's
that,
universe is intertwined,
right? So it's everybody's.
So like,
it's everybody's it's having like, the same thing at the same time.
It's a Googleplex squared, cubed
per person.
Googleplex in a Googleplex cube,
right?
You know, it's like
right.
per person, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like that's where the science goes. It's like it's no longer numbers, and it's no longer like science in the sense of like let's measure it. It's let's just talk about what if. Now it's just like is just something that's not possible, but it is possible if we wanted to calculate it.
Exactly. It's theoretically possible. That's the whole thing. Is that like yeah? There's mathematically you can make it work. Could it actually ever work? Who the fuck knows?
What's your favorite Muppet movie?
Oh, you know, it's not cliche, but it's most recent. But I really liked everything music-wise and everything in Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah,
because it
Muppets
was
Brett
McKenzie, I think his name is, the guy that's from Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
He did all the music, and I loved it. All the music was fun and funny, but it was also really well done, and the cameo actors they had in it were huge and fun.
That's what makes
well
a
done.
Muppet movie so great is the cameos themselves.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody wants to be in a Muppet movie.
That's definitely a huge part of a Muppet movie.
Yeah. And my favorite is the Great Muppet Caper.
Oh, you're going back.
Yes. I love that movie, and I love Charles Grodin. I love how he's... So, like villainy, but then I love them breaking the fourth wall in that movie, and they go like, Mickey, why are you doing this? And he's like, I'm a villain. This is plain and simple. Like this is
what
I
do.
Yeah,
I'm doing my role. Why are you doing your thing?
This is a movie. I'm a villain.
Duh.
I love that about the where it just
going
doesn't weird. Take itself seriously, but it does. I've been thinking about combining kind of like a lot of sci-fi theories where, you know, you take like reincarnation, but then you also put in the idea of the multiverse theory. So you're totally being reborn, but every time you're reborn, it's a different universe of yourself. It's like you're having the same, you're just replaying it yourself.
Oh.
But it's like a different self.
I think we've talked about this one before. It's the recycled, like everybody's individual self, like is repeating itself completely. So like, there is no future, there is no past. We've all just been living in the same time over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Like, I've done this a million different times.
We're all in a Groundhog's Day, but we're unaware.
Right.
But
right,
Groundhog's
exactly.
Life.
A Groundhog's world, like universe, yeah. And every time when that one person dies naturally of however way they die in that universe, they just restart and they're a different person. And that's why you have, like, you know, memories from lives that you maybe not have experienced or just deja vu feelings and things like that where you're just thinking to yourself, I've experienced this, or this feels so familiar, even though you haven't really done it. It's because you've done it in a different life, in a different universe, you know, two or four lives ago. Almost like if Super Mario Brothers, like if Super Mario,
yes,
was going down the corridor,
okay, of life,
him realizing, like, when he gets to right before Koopa, he's like, wait a minute, I've played this before. Like, I've been here. Like, I've done this. Yeah, you have, because this is the fourth life. And you've tried to, like, you know, it's taken three lives to get past the Koopa, but this is your fourth time trying to get past the Koopa.
So you have four lives of experience on this guy.
Right. So, like, maybe we've had experiences in other lives where, you know, up until this point, we've failed. But right now, in this life, we've gone further than we've gone in any other life before us.
What if that what is
like
what
a Edge of Tomorrow?
Is.
You ever watch that?
Yes, that's a really good movie. Actually,
hell yeah, it is.
It's not that bad.
It's fucking, but it's basically a real life video game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly what it is, because he just relives the same level.
And he has
over
to get
over.
Further. Like, he has to keep going past where he died before. So it's like, okay, if we get cancer in this one, we're gonna like start our next life. Or maybe we're trying to not get cancer.
But what if that's what life has already been? So, like, the last century was a completely different-looking century than this century, and vice
right.
so forth. So,
what
like,
if it's
everybody that's dying is actually being reborn into somebody, like, onto this earth. They don't, like, obviously the people who are alive when he was alive aren't alive anymore, so they don't know that it looks exactly the same and it's the same person. But it's just basically, here, you get to try again in you know, 150 years after you were actually born. So to get
yeah,
another,
time keeps going further. Yeah, so it's like the next life is also further in time. So it's in the, you know, 2080 something.
Yeah. So it's all like been, like the people have been repeated. The outcomes have all been different because we've been learning and growing. And that's why technology
right.
keeps getting better because
right.
we're adding on to the knowledge that we already had.
But it is like literally we used to be Egyptians and now we're on our 12th
life. Yeah, at some
point
we're all just like, you know, tree-dwelling mammals about to come off out of the tree, and now we're building skyscrapers and
the one thing that I can't still wrap around my head of is that we're all like stardust, or that we're all like, you know, the one thing that started it all is all of us. You know, it is remnants, or like us are, you know, molecularly remnants of whatever was exploded.
Like, going way off topic just for 2 seconds, there's an old movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Kurt Douglas.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Kurt Douglas. That's like one of the first movies Arnold Schwarzenegger was in, so it's really old. It's called The Villain.
Yeah. It's fucking, I've never even heard of
it's
it.
It's cheesy as fuck. It's super silly. It's like...
Is this pre-Conan or like...
I think it may be. He plays like this good, like the good guy cowboy,
mm-hmm.
and he's taking the girl across the thing, and... Kurt Douglas is the villain, but he's like he's like a wily coyote, and I'm not even kidding. Like he's painting like tunnels in the wall that fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger goes through, and he's like, "What the fuck just happened? I just painted that. It's not even a real wall." Like,
this is a cartoon.
No,
yeah.
This is live action. This is a live action movie. It's fucking hilarious. They do it pretty. It's pretty fun.
As a comedy or this?
Yeah,
it's
totally made as a comedy.
Okay,
it's
so they know what they're doing.
Oh
it's
yeah, they're
like,
doing slapsticky stuff and they're putting in silly music. It's right. totally like 70s wacky comedy,
right? Because it's not one of those like, no, this movie's like, it was supposed
it's
to be
so
serious.
Bad it's funny. No, right. This is like, no, they're meant to be silly,
like a Johnny Dangerously.
Very much so. It's very much like that. Where like this villain. Yeah, he's like the cheesy, like slapstick commercial villain wearing all black, and you know, it's just a silly movie.
He kicked me in the balls once.
Yeah, my mother did that to me once. Once,
man, I just watched Beetlejuice last night.
We're going off topic. We'll come back to the Muppets, but go ahead, Beetlejuice.
Michael Keaton is such a cool actor. He is.
I heard this. They're coming out with a Beetlejuice too.
I hope they are, because that was such a
Ryder confirmed
way
it.
Off the base movie, and that movie is just that's
Did
the
you
movie
like
where
Birdman?
You're like Tim Burton is awesome.
Yeah,
and then you see like, you know, Alice in Wonderland and all the other five movies he's made
Something
since
happened.
Then, and you're like, ugh. What the fuck?
Well, I think it's because you get trapped by your own success type of thing when you become like a good director like that. Because you look at like Spielberg and George Lucas. Like they did these great movies, but then when they try to like emulate that style later on in life, it tends to like fall apart because
or
they're
when
not
studios
keeping up.
Ask you like, hey, make this movie for us, and then they
right.
It's this huge budget movie, but they're trying to put their spin on it. But it's like, dude. You don't need to do the big budget. Like, I understand money's a big if a dump truck full of money came up to my house and they said, make this movie for us, I'd be like, well, okay, where do you want, what kind of movie do you want? I will do whatever you want.
Yep. You're like, live action James and the Giant Peach. I'm all over it.
Yep. Frankenweenie, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, Frankenweenie 2, live action with Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
Exactly, as Frankenweenie. Yeah, they're both like
they're the both, yeah, it's half and half.
Yeah, they're one's the front half and one's the back half. And
hopefully then, Helena Bonham Carter's the back half.
Right, I hope Bazinga. So. But she's still smoking a cigarette, so you can still see it through the costume just billowing out.
It's like out the asshole.
Yeah, it's just out the asshole. There's just a smoke
the tail
of cigarette.
Just holds a cigarette. Just...
Yes. Yes. And that's her emoting.
We just wrote the next Tim Burton movie.
No, all but right. That's the thing. You watch
so
Beetlejuice
awesome.
And you're like, who the fuck came up with a movie like that? That has never, I've
and
never
said,
seen a movie
it.
Like that.
And then said, let's make it. And these actors are like, oh man, this sounds
yeah,
interesting.
They read the script. And if I tried to write the same script, people would be like, you're fucking dumb. You're high, right? You're really high. And I'd be like, well kind of, yeah. A little.
But that's
still,
not the point.
This is really cool, right? They're like, no.
Can we get past that point, okay?
The woes of being a woman and a migrant in this country are redonkulous.
Do you think we won't have to worry about that eventually because we'll be able to experience everything eventually? Like, I won't be able to, like... We won't have to worry about race or gender or anything like that because, like, we can be whatever race or whatever gender we want.
Not anytime soon, but maybe someday.
Or
how
experience it in a first-person view, like, you know, like, I can now be this in a virtual world. Like, I can be a black man and live in this black
I think
virtual
that
world.
Someday we'll have one world order and that we'll all eventually sleep ourselves into a
like
conglomerate
a
of ages. Not necessarily, I guess, it was ages all one race? Was Matrix all one race? I mean?
No, but I mean like they're in this like sleep
no.
stage and they're like, you know.
Not at all.
Like, okay.
Not at all. I mean like we'll sleep our way into like have sex our way into being one race, not multiple races.
Right. Eventually,
it's not
everybody
be...
will have sex with everybody, and it'll be
yeah.
Just
eventually,
one.
There'll just be one race. And it'll be just the human race,
right?
And then, that won't be an issue. Then it'll be some other thing. It'll be like, oh yeah, we're a different race, but now we're from south of this border, and you're from north of this border. Northies are cool, southies are bad, or vice versa.
Like, what if you could like put your consciousness in an android? But that android is female, and you just live in that android for one day. But you're, you know, obviously normally a male, but for that one day you get to be female and
obviously.
Live like a female. Like, just think of what you could learn in that one day that would help you better, like, you know, understand how women feel.
Would you go out, or would you just stay home and play with yourself?
Of course I'd go out.
And play with yourself.
After, like, you know, I got 4 or 5 orgasms off the bat.
After the first 4 hours.
Took a bunch of selfies or whatever.
Yeah. Bunch of mirror selfies and make sure I get a lot of close-ups of good,
right.
good spots.
Right. But that's the thing. You could, you know, you always have those, like, GoPro cameras of girls that,
right.
you know, they get all those hooting and hollering, like... As they're walking down the street. And
oh, yeah,
like,
the cat calls and all
right,
that.
Right, and you can see, like, oh, this is what a woman experiences on mm-hmm. a daily basis. And you're like, really? I want to really, like,
well,
first-hand
off,
experience. I don't want to see some video. I want to really.
First off,
really
those videos I always call BS because who is walking around with, like, a belt with a camera on, like a big GoPro that doesn't, with a big red light on.
That's connected
like,
to their
come
butt,
on, man,
like,
you,
right above their butt.
Yeah, or, exactly. There's a camera on their ass facing towards you. You don't. That's how people normally carry their cameras. People.
Some girl has a big old fanny pack on.
Yeah, it's like, come on, this beautiful woman walking down with a scantily clad dress because she's supposed to be able to dress however she wants, which is totally fine. But it's just like, no one's noticing the camera.
And a lot of the camera, or a lot of the guys that said something, the comment they said was. Hello, miss.
Yeah. How you doing?
How are you doing? That's suddenly a, oh my God, I was accosted by a man that asked me how my day was going.
How dare he, the misogynistic pig?
He said, have a good day?
He talked to me.
What the fuck?
He's not allowed to talk to me. I'm like a 10. He's like an 8. You can't talk up.
He should just look at me with one eye and then dive into the subway station.
Yes, he should not even look. He should get down on his knees and lick my feet when I come by and then say, ma'am, may I look at you?
Have you started watching Project Greenlight? It just started up now.
No, but I heard the controversy about Matt Damon trying to tell a black woman about how to diversity works.
Well, I could see.
All I heard was something about behind the camera. That's all I heard.
I watched it, and it's.
Bad as they say.
This girl, okay.
Maybe we should play it.
Oh, if it's on, yeah.
Whoever this director is, the way that they're going to treat the character of Harmony, her being a prostitute, the only black person being a hooker who gets hit by her white pimp.
We brought up to each other. So, I think on the surface, they look like one thing, but they might end up giving us something that we don't want. And when we're talking about diversity, you do it in the casting of the film, not in the casting of the show.
Whew. Wow. Okay.
See, yeah.
That is a little interesting statement, though. Like, what do you mean just the casting of the film, not the casting of the show? Like, don't you want diversity everywhere? I don't even know what she was
but
really.
But that's the thing.
I don't
like,
even know what the topic was really about. Like, in that little clip, I'm not even sure what she's really talking about.
The context of the movie is they were thinking of certain roles as being, you know, black people, diverse people, you know, this wasn't going to be an all-white cast. And
right.
Everybody was like, okay, sure, that's fine. We don't need to just look at one race. We're not even looking at casting right now. We're talking about fucking directors right now. We're looking at who's going to be the director right
now. Oh, so she was wanting
and
to
she's,
get a black director for diversity.
Exactly. She's wanting diversity in the director. And they're like, we don't care about who's directing the movie. And we don't. And if the role's going to have a diverse cast, and if there's going to be a grip that's going to be a black person, who cares? Whatever. But right now, we're looking at who's the best director for this movie. We're not just looking at who's a black guy that we can hire for the director role. And that's what he was basically saying, because she was looking at like this duo of it was this this Latina girl with this Vietnamese guy, and they were like a directing duo, and she was all about like, hey, these guys are gonna bring so much diversity to the movie and such a different edge, and they're like, yeah, but they're not that good.
Yeah, have you seen like that's it is.
Like their movie,
look at their work,
isn't strong, their material isn't that great. We didn't like it. We liked other stuff, and the stuff that we did like, I'm sorry, was from a white guy.
Yeah, it just happens to be this
just some happens to be a white
this
guy.
Particular set of group, this guy had the best.
Yeah,
that we liked. And I'm assuming most of the time you're watching it before you know who the fuck made it.
Right.
So you're like, I like this. So who made this? Let's get
and
that guy.
And then that's the thing. So that was the clip of Matt Damon basically saying, like, we can hire divert. Like, if the job or the role or whatever calls for a certain ethnicity or a certain type of person, then we're all for it. But if it doesn't and we're just looking at who's the best, then we're going to go with who's the best, regardless of what race they are.
Okay.
And then she got all like,
see,
what? You're not putting enough diversity in this.
But see, I think you just stated it better than he did on that little clip. Because he was just talking about diversity, not on the show, or like on the show, not in the cat, or like on the cast, not in the show. Which doesn't say like what you said. It was like, when it matters, we'll look for everybody. But when
and
we're
if
looking
you,
for just the best, then
right.
It doesn't matter. If it's white, it's white. If it's Asian, it's Asian. If it's black, it's black. We're going to take the one that we liked the best.
And if you watch her little bio before, if you watch the whole episode, this woman is all about nothing but diversity and women. It's all about, like, I need to tell stories about the repression of races and the repression of women because I'm a black woman and I've been that way and I've been there, so I need to be on the mountaintop of helping all
that,
of those people out.
I'll give her that. Like, if it's something she can actually relate to, she can probably tell better stories about that subject.
Right.
You know, so
But that's the thing I don't like is that, and people will say this is the same thing with affirmative action, where it's you're hiring somebody based on their skin color or whatever their, you know, ethnicity or creed or whatever it is, instead of who's best for the fucking job.
But see, and I'm 100%.
I don't care. I've been overlapped by many races, and I've had jobs probably taken by a minority or whatever. And I'm not saying like, what, that guy only got hired because he was black. Fuck that.
No, but I'm in your team is like that. Like I don't think we should. It should always be like, hey, the best person for the job should get the job, right? But
would you want a woman that's 120?
We've gone way off the topic of Muppet characters that we like.
Yeah, you got to ask me now. I got to ask me my three Muppet characters.
Let me come back real quick though. I was just saying that, talking about like the affirmative action. You say that, and I agree with you. Like, hey, it shouldn't be a racist thing anymore. But then you look at like studies, like if you have Michael as your name, you're much more likely to get hired than if you have Miguel.
Sure.
You know, so it, or
but in certain and cultures have, or in certain
public,
areas,
a public people running for president saying that we don't like Mexicans. And you're like, so racism is still a problem in mainstream society.
But there's reasons why
we still have to have those things just as like, yeah, we like to think that most people aren't racist anymore. But just in case, let's have this little safety net that says we should make sure that you have to be diverse. Oriented, like if you have 50% black and 50% white in this town, it should reflect in your workplace too, you know, cause like
right.
Depending on the job, depending, you know. But
interesting that I could see that happening, but don't you think it's more racist to be like, I'm going to hire this person, or I'm going to have this person, or I'm going to vote for this person? Just solely because he's Mexican and I'm Mexican.
Well, if you're doing anything solely because of that, yes. But I'm talking purely about about that subject you were talking about, purely about
right
affirmative action.
Yeah,
right. The only reason if you have a girl that's
120 and she's trying to be a firefighter and she's supposed to be like saving people,
like
you're going to be like, lady,
that doesn't work.
I'm
like
all
that.
For it, but you can't be a firefighter.
That doesn't work. If she's 120 and she can lift a 250-pound man,
which
fuck yeah, go for it.
I'd like to see that.
But that's
girl.
What I'm saying. They don't. If she can't do that's the one thing a lot of people bring up is that firefighter thing.
Right.
If you can't pass the standard test, they don't have a men's test and a female test.
Right.
They have a standard test. You have to pass that standardized test. If you can pass it as a 120-pound female, which would be fucking amazing. If you could pass it as a 120-pound man, that'd be fucking amazing because you're picking up double your weight. But it's possible. That's what matters. And if she can do that, more power to her. But I'm more of the – I agree with you. It shouldn't be that way. But we have the facts of like people like Trump out there who are obviously racist and they're the leaders of these big companies and hiring a lot of people. So just for protection from that, you do need protection from that, because there's going to be those times when like, yeah, this guy
he's
next to me who's
nominated.
A black guy and I'm a white guy, this black guy fucking way more qualified. He's smarter. He's gone to more school. He's – tougher, whatever the case may be, he's way better suited for the job. But he sees me and I'm white, so he wants to hire me. Now that kind of shit can still happen, and it still does happen, where that guy is way more qualified, but they're going with me because of my race. You know?
Right.
So that's maybe it's few and far between. Maybe it's more of an upper level thing that I'm not going to be dealing with anytime soon because I'm not upper level management or anything. But maybe I don't know. But I think just for that safety net, it's not a bad idea. Does it get abused? Is there some things maybe we could tweak on it? Yes. Do I think we should? Like, technically, in our like utopia where I'm with you, we shouldn't. Me and you are pretty open minded. Like, yeah, if you're the best for the job, I'm hiring you. I don't give a fuck what you look like. But I don't think that's a universal thought across the states.
Not across the states for sure.
I don't.
But the problem is that we have laws and they're really only good for like 30 years, 40 years. And then they become archaic and become obsolete or become so stupid where you're like, why the fuck do we still have this law? And then it just takes so long and so much time to just overturn it and to just get rid of it. I had a healthy dose of mediocrity. Like, I was definitely always thinking to myself, I'm good at certain things. Probably better than most, but I'm also bad at a lot of other things that's probably worse than most. Like, I've definitely realized, like, I don't have a lot of self-esteem, but I'm definitely got some self-esteem. Like, I've always thought to myself, I know I'm not Brad Pitt, but I'm also not Elephant Man. I'm not having to worry about being able to walk down the street and have people go, oh my God, what is wrong with that person?
I've had that happen.
You've had somebody like faint.
Not faint, but
from
like,
the look
what
of you?
The fuck? Like, definitely do a double take. But it was because I was a bearded lady, so I was wearing drag.
There you go. Well, then that.
Still, I felt it, D.
There you go. And then, so you found the pain of what bearded women feel like.
Being a 6'4 large bearded woman,
right,
who's overweight.
You knew that pain.
Yes.
It's always like those daytime TV hosts that put on the fat suit and they walk down the street for that one day, like, he wore a fat suit. And now let's see what happens.
But it's never like an actual, like, hey, this guy actually looks like he's overweight. It's always like a sumo suit with the suit on it.
Of course.
Like, what the fuck?
And yeah, it looks like the clumps or something. You're like,
yeah.
That's not somebody real.
It looks like a skinny guy in a fat suit.
Mm-hmm. I always also like to where like she just happened to meet the two dicks that would be just openly like rude to a fat person. Like,
yeah,
how many times have you ran into somebody that was huge and obese and then you just saw somebody go like, what up, fatty?
Yeah. Like does that happen every day?
I doubt.
How many days did you guys follow that person?
Now, I don't know the life of a fat, obese person.
I do, and it doesn't happen to me every day.
I was going to say, do you have people go, what up, fatty?
I do, but that's my nickname, so it's cool. But
it's like that thing in Perfect Pitch where you call yourself Fat Amy. It's like, I'm just giving people the, taking the sting out of their insults. I'm calling myself Fat Amy.
It can't hurt me
when
I call it, when I say, call me Fat Mike.
The fact that I know that is because I have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, blame that on. Yeah. Pitch Perfect.
That's why I watch Pitch Perfect, because I have a girlfriend, I swear. Can you see my eyes shifting back and forth on the mic?
Girlfriend. Yeah, she just lives in a different county. You guys just haven't met her.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, she goes to a school. Yeah, she goes to my church.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I always liked that idea of playing like a different life in certain situations. I don't know if that makes me evil or whatever.
Wait, what? Like the TV show A Different Life?
No, but like...
Or A Different World. That was
at school, you're like one way, but at church, you're a different way.
You have...
Like at school, I'm the nerdy, you know, dude that just has a few friends, but at church, I'm the guy that is the bad boy or something, you know?
I'm sure I know I had that.
Or at
you never
camp
had that?
Or at whatever, you know, for those 2 weeks, it's like... I'm going to now be the kid that doesn't read comic books, but plays basketball for some reason. I'm going to now be into basketball. I don't know why, but I'm just going to now, because all these kids right off the gate love basketball and I want to fit in. So now I'm going to be totally into basketball, even though I really care less about basketball. I'm just going to love it for this week because all the friends I want to hang out with love it. And that's the only thing I can, you know, bond with them with.
Right.
That's the thing that I find like fascinating, where it's not like I hated it, but it is weird. Like, I like that for just that one time. Like, I was super into like motocross for like a summer.
Yeah. For just a little bit.
Just because these kids across the street from me that lived, you know, five houses down had BMX or a motocross, you know, those 50 or 80 Honda bikes and stuff. And suddenly I was like, this is my life now. I'm now going to be those guys.
I remember getting really into one summer because there was a few kids that I knew that around the neighborhood that played with those finger skateboards.
Oh,
and they had the ramps and everything. And they were able to do like the cool tricks.
Cool.
I remember for like,
I don't even think it was
for a full summer. I think it was for like maybe like 2 weeks. I got really into it. I'm like, oh, I have to get one of those.
Right.
And, oh, man, I have to practice. And like, I remember like playing with it for like a week and kind of like having fun with it and enjoying it. And then after that, just being kind of like, this is kind of dumb. Like, just in my head, just like, I just had like this epiphany moment. Like, I should be learning how to real skateboard instead of skateboard with my fingers. And I'm just sitting in here like,
is this ever going to get me a job?
What is this? What am I? Is this even going to like go? Like, I'm not even going to be able to learn more things because it's just my, I don't know. I just felt like I saw the end of the possibility rainbow and I was like,
and the millions you'd be raking in.
Yeah. Like, this isn't going anywhere.
Can you imagine, like, you became a YouTube star because you knew how to do, like, all these sick tricks with these fingers?
I'm sure there's somebody out there that's good at it and making videos.
These women are just totally like, I will be part of your posse because...
Oh, man, he's got some good finger in action. I bet I know something else he can do with those fingers.
What type of groupie would you want?
Sexy?
Female?
Easy?
Okay. Yeah, ones that are down to have sex with you.
Yeah. Perfect tens?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, if you were, a rock star groupie's a lot different than, like, a sports groupie. And then, like, it's a lot different than a scientist groupie.
What kind of groupie would you want? A podcast groupie?
Yep, I want a podcast. I want a girl that's like, I love you. And what turns me on most is hearing you talk on this podcast.
Yeah, so stop talking to me and go podcast. I don't want to be around.
Right.
I want to hear your voice. I don't want to see you.
Yeah. Can you tell us about what your thoughts about string theory are? But while we have sex, I just want to hear you talk. And then have Smitty talk about it in the background, too.
And have him go, yeet, every so often.
Yeah, exactly. No, I... It would be cool though to have.
What kind of groupie would you want? You want just a podcast groupie for real? Like you or...
I want a groupie. I want a circus groupie.
A circus groupie.
I want a girl that's into me because I am a clown, or because I am a lion tamer, and that's her thing. Is that tame lions, and she's like, "Oh my god, take me now."
I have no idea if this would be a good or bad thing, but I want a girl that's like a groupie that are easy to make laugh, because I want to keep my girlfriend. I just want to make you laugh, and that'll make me feel good. And then when I go to my girlfriend, I'll be like, "Hey, baby, I got laughed at. You get my laughed at face."
Well, the problem with a lot of women is that, and men, or with relationships, is that you use your A material early in the relationship, and then you kind of bring it back every so often. But the more times you bring it back, the more they're like, "All right, I heard that. I've seen that part." It's not like I'm going to break up with you, but I'm not laughing anymore because I've heard that joke.
I'll tell
joke.
You what. There, I did the whole like classic trope where the girl's on the second floor and the guy's on the first floor with the guitar and plays her a little tune and says, "I love you," and does that whole classic thing. Because she lives on the second floor, and so I can do it to her balcony and have her come out. I've done it a few times when I show up. I have my guitar. I just start playing. I'd be like, "Nanda, come on out. I love you."
Nice.
You know? Thinking that'd be sweet. The first time she was like, "Oh, that's so cute." Now she's like, "Just get your ass in here. You're embarrassing me." It's been long enough.
I agree. The things that were once cute do become annoying at some point when they eventually, you know, the wilt of the rose, you know, the smell doesn't become as fragrant anymore.
Yeah, the bloom only lasts so long.
Right. And they like the nice things, but it's almost like, I'd rather, instead of you singing me these sonnets, how about you rub my feet or do the dishes instead?
Yeah. How about you, go get a job.
Right.
Stop playing some guitar lawn with your bare feet. Go earn some money to put some shoes on those feet.
Right. The times that you, like, they're impressed with your singing and those types of things where you're being creative is when you're at a party or those get-togethers where you can then bust out, like, "Hey, by the way, do you know I know how to play the guitar? Or guess what? I just painted this crazy painting. Or I just built this crazy bookshelf." And then you can show them all these cool things and then go, "Hey, this guy's awesome." But then that's it. Then go back to being like the guy that makes the food or brings in the money.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Don't sing the songs every day unless those songs make money.
Yeah.
I love Oscar the Grouch. Yeah, crazy. I can still
Oscar the Grouch. Oh yeah, I totally forgot about like Sesame as this and, stuff.
And another Frank Oz character.
Yeah.
Where
we grew up, idolizing a guy in a trash can who was grumpy, but yet we step over homeless guys who ask for a dime. Mm. What the fuck is wrong with us?
I just love how Sesame Street was so prolific, where they showed both sides of a coin, where they showed a negative, but they also went like, hey, Oscar, why are you so negative? Why are you so... And he's like, because I am. I fucking live in a trash can. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it. They at least understood why he was negative. Like, oh, you live in a trash can.
Oscar, you're crazy. That's why we love you. Moving on.
Exactly. But I love how Oscar was still, like, negative, but you could, like, kind of, like, pull him over, or you could kind of like turn him around and go like, hey man, it ain't that bad, right? And
he was the grumpy guy with a heart of gold, where like he had a thick skin but he really meant well.
He was always your grandpa, like, or your you knew yet that was just a little hard around the edges, and you're like, if I just talk to him about one thing that he likes, you know, World War II airplanes or some shit.
Let's talk about John Wayne movies.
Yeah, or Rocky and Bullwinkle or some shit.
Or you're getting just... smack.
Yeah, exactly. Remember the days when you could get smack and it wasn't called smack?
Dude,
it was called crank.
Remember when people used to use the word smack?
Yeah. And they weren't talking about hitting their kids?
Wasn't there like a Lucky Smacks, like cereal or something?
There was... No, it was Smacks. It was, yes...
Wasn't it like a frog that was like...
Dig'em. Yeah, Dig'em the frog.
Smack'ems or something? I don't know.
It was like something...
Way off topic.
Like Golden Smacks
or
something. All
right, so Oscar the Grouch.
And
definitely good.
Could you do an Oscar the Grouch impression?
Fuck you, D. Hey, kids.
I don't think he said fuck.
Hey, kids. I'm fucking homeless. Give me a dime.
Okay, Oscar, what we're going to do is...
Hey, no fucking okay, Oscar. Give me some fucking food. I'm homeless. I'm living in a fucking trash can.
We're looking
for...
Can
you at least throw away your leftovers?
Okay, we like your enthusiasm. We like that you're asking for dimes.
Fuck your enthusiasm. Give me a pizza.
We like that you're so hungry and that you're looking for food.
I got something hungry for you right here, baby. Oh, this is Oscar, like, behind the scenes. Sorry. Hey, kids, I'm grumpy, but I love you. Come over here. I'll show you something.
Now, Gordon and Olivia, they're actually walking off stage. They're not really into this charade.
What? Get those pussies back over here. You had a fucking show to do. You didn't see me walk off.
Do you have any alcohol behind that trash can?
What? That's none of your fucking business. First Amendment says I can drink what I want.
You're right, but can we just have it?
I don't know if the First Amendment says I can drink what the fuck I want, but First Amendment says I can drink alcohol wherever the fuck I want. Go Constitution. Bill of Rights, my butt. All right, that was my Oscar.
Nice. I also liked staying on the same Sesame Street vein. I always liked Grover. And more or less, Super Grover. Grover.
That's who I said, right?
No, you said.
Who did I say?
Gonzo. And Fozzie.
Who's Gonzo?
And then the shrimp. Gonzo's the one with the nose.
Who's
Grover? Is the one that's just blue. And
you're right. Okay, I was confusing the characters. Okay,
yeah.
I don't remember Grover too much. What was his voice like?
He was like this, blah, 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 blah.
More of a softer, grumpy core.
I'm Super Grover! Super Grover!
Yep. That's as close as I can get. I'm just trying to imitate you. I don't know what it really sounds like.
And,
I do remember him, but he was more of like, he was kind of a...
yeah.
He was like a bit character, right?
True.
Kind of like King Kong.
Grover wasn't in that many sketches, for sure.
Who was your third Jim Henson favorite?
I loved also, the guy that threw the boomerang fish. Remember that guy?
Boomerang fish?
What's up? You know when I on the... He was Zeke. He was Zeke, the boomerang fish thrower.
Was he a Muppet?
Yeah. And he was in the Muppet Movie, and he was also in the Muppets Take Manhattan.
I'm looking up Muppet characters right now because I'm not. It's not.
I always loved Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Dr. Teeth. I used to always use him as a comparison to Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
It's like she looks like she's got such a huge mouth and skinny face.
I will say that Dr. Teeth is a straight up ripoff of Dr. John.
From what?
From real life. There was a real life character.
Who's Dr. John? Was he like a singer or something?
Yeah, he sang that one song like, "I've been in a right place, but it must have been a wrong time."
I've heard the song, but I never heard the name Dr. John.
Here, I'll play a song from him. Let's see.
Obviously Kermit. Gonzo, that's who I like. Janice, she was one of the...
Hey, for sure, man. Yep. I'm like a lesbian, but nobody wants to actually tell me I am.
Miss Piggy and I have a thing on the side.
Her and Skeeter. Scooter's...
he's very gay.
Girl, yeah. Like a twin that was only in the Muppet Babies.
Do you have any idea the guy who threw the boomerang fish?
His name was Zeke.
Zeke? I'll look up Z's.
Or look up Flying Fish Muppet.
Let me look up Zeke first.
And while you look it up, I'll play this song. You're such a name. You've never heard this song?
Yeah. Sweet confusion under the moonlight. You gave me like 2 seconds. Let me hear a little bit. Oh, this guy looks like a fucking, like, your favorite is fucking funny looking. That's why you like him. I barely remember this dude, but I do remember him because he stands out. He's got like a clown nose and like a Mario and Luigi mustache.
Totally.
And like a Dragon Ball Z, like, spiky hairdo. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing the King Lawler, Jerry the King Lawler. He looks kind of like him with his little outfit on. Lou Zealand. He wasn't New Zealand. He was Lou Zealand. I do not remember this song. But that song that you sang earlier, I did recognize that one.
All right, let's play that maybe.
The Right Place?
Mm-hmm.
That one I recognize the title or how you were singing it anyway.
This song is probably his biggest hit.
All right. I almost want to change mine to Lou Zealand because he's fucking hilarious looking.
I liked how so many were kind of just offshoots of other characters.
Sure.
You know, Ralph and Dr. Teeth and so many others just sounded pretty much just an inch away from each other.
Yeah, I recognize this song. I never knew. I didn't know it was his name was Dr. John though. So he does he look like, does he look like a Dr. Teeth? I'm looking him up. Dr. John. Yep, he fucking no shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily like a full-on ripoff. I think it's more of an homage. Like, hey, I love your music, and we're gonna kind of make this around you.
Yeah, we're gonna
and not pay you.
I dig this Dr. John's actual style though. He looks like a. In some of these, he looks like a voodoo, like priest or something.
Yeah, and he also like kind of sounds like Van Morrison a little bit. Kind of like
yeah,
that,
he's got
like
that gruff,
mm-hmm, and that register of like, I don't know, and he's not gonna kind of like change that very much. It's just gonna be this is how I sing,
this
and
my
this
level,
is it.
This is where I sing.
I mean, certain
fucking
singers
take it and like it,
like Bob Dylan, and you know other singers. They're gonna be in that register, and that's all there are.
Well, brother, I think I'm at a wrap for my brain. I gotta take a little break. What is our email? I mean,
almostanythingpodcast@yahoo.com.
All right, go to the almostanythingpodcast.com or at Yahoo or almostanythingpodcast@yahoo.com, or go to the Almost Anything Network Facebook and leave us a message. Even if it's just like "sup bitches," Or like, yeah, hey, you guys fucking suck. Stop making podcasts. Or I just want to see if anybody's listening.
Yeah. Just tell us, hey, I'm listening right now.
Because I see clicks, but I don't know if anybody's actually listening.
And the verdict is in.
The podcast is done.